see this number out this morning. We appreciate so much the presence of each of you. If you have your Bible, if you'll be turning to the book of Matthew in the 26th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment, Matthew chapter 26. I want to take just a moment before we begin to commend the individuals who came and worked yesterday. We've got a lot of people who put a lot of hours into preparing the classes and are engaged in making sure our children learn, and I want them to know how much I appreciate their efforts, not just what they did yesterday, but the time they take in preparing their classes and the time they prepare in dealing with our children. And I sure appreciate each and every one's efforts, and it sure makes me feel good to see that people are concerned about the youth of our day and want them to learn about God. So I hope that you understand how much we appreciate your hard work. In the Gospel of Matthew, in the 26th chapter, I want to read one verse with you for the thought of our study, and that's verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. This part of the divine revelation comes to the hour that Jesus would die. And you remember that John brings to our attention in a very clear manner that Christ came to do the will of the Father in the book of John in the first chapter. And the hour had not come on one occasion, as we read in John 4 or in John 8, but in John 17, as Jesus is praying to the Father, he said, "The hour has come." Then we read in the book of Matthew and the 26th chapter and verse 56, some shocking words. And if you would, look at the latter part again of what we just read, where the Bible says that all the disciples forsook him and fled. I thought about that statement. Here were the very ones that walked and talked with the Lord and knew him intimately. They'd heard him preach many great lessons and heard his prayers. And yet at the hour that he most needed them, they forsook him and fled. So I begin to wonder, why did these individuals forsake Jesus? And the first thing that came to my mind is obvious to all, I believe. The first reason I put down was fear. I believe that when they looked out and they saw the individuals coming to arrest Jesus, that there was fear in their heart. I tried to imagine in my mind these fishermen from Galilee who had never seen or been in such a night. And as they're in the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane that overlooks Jerusalem, they could see over the Kidron Valley the lights coming to arrest Jesus. And I've often thought about, here they are, the lights flashing, the spears pointing at the Lord, and they may have felt helpless at that time. And this had been true of many early Christians. When persecution came, no doubt there was fear in their heart. They feared what could be done to them and their families. So the first thing I put down is why the disciples fled was fear. But then I thought there might be another reason. And when I went back in my Bible, in the book of Matthew and the 26th chapter, I began to think about weariness. We must keep in mind that in the few years of the life of Jesus, and from the time he called his disciples, they traveled often. And they had walked at this particular time to Jerusalem upon this occasion to celebrate the Passover feast. And Jesus had come to Jerusalem knowing that he would die upon Calvary's cross. And I think about in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40, how tired they were in the garden. When Jesus was praying to the Father, you find the disciples sleeping at that particular time. I've often thought about how Jesus came to them and awoke them. And Jesus said to them that they need to watch and pray. And they are not listening to Jesus because they're so weary at that particular time. And remember, that's not the first time you find in the Bible where people became weary. You remember when Moses led the Israelites out of the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan. That some forsook him at that time because they grew weary. And that's one thing I recognize about people is sometimes weariness will cause one to forsake the Lord. But then I thought of a third reason. As I was looking at my Bible, I thought about this could have been a spiritual reaction. Recall they'd been with Jesus in the upper room to observe the Passover, and it was at this time that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And it was after this that in the book of Mark and the 14th chapter, in verse 26, the Bible said they sung a song or a hymn. Here they were praising God, and they were doing what they should have been doing. They were praising God, but when they get to the garden, they go to sleep. And here is the reaction when Jesus is being put on trial and is about to be arrested. They forsook Him and fled. Now, what should they have been doing? Now, notice several things they should have been doing while they were in the garden. First, listen to what Jesus tells them in Matthew 26 and verse 41. Jesus said, "Watch and pray." Have you ever thought that was a command that Jesus gave to them at that particular time in verse 41? He said, "Watch and pray." He'd warned them back in verse 31, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." And that's when Peter said, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I won't be made to stumble." And Jesus said, "I tell you, before the rooster crows, Peter, you're going to deny me three times." And Peter said, "Even if I have to die with you, I'll not deny you." And look at the last phrase in verse 35. "And so said all the disciples." It wasn't just Peter that said he would die with the Lord. It was all of them. They were saying that they would stand there, that they would go to battle with Christ, that they would go to the cross, that they would die with Him. And yet at the time that He needed them, Jesus said, "Watch and pray." I want you to understand that at that time, that when He came to them, that He looked at them, and notice what He says in verse 41. "The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." They were to be watchful in prayer and watchful as men who will give an account. But instead of watching and praying, they were individuals that were sleeping. But secondly, they should have been looking unto Jesus. Jesus is their master. Jesus is the teacher. And the teacher had gone a little further and was in prayer. I remember what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith." And yet at this time, they were not looking unto Jesus. They should have kept their eyes upon the Lord. They should have been watching and praying and looking. But instead, what did they do? They were sleeping. What they had done, they were hand-picked disciples, but what did they do when the individuals come to arrest Jesus? They sin by leaving the Lord. Have you ever thought about how that must have cut the heart of Jesus? The ones who'd been with Him for 3 years, hearing Him teach, seeing the miracles, hearing Him talk about what must come to pass, and in the hour of His need, they all forsook and fled. I want to take that. I want to make application in the lesson's years. The first thing I want to ask this morning is, has Christ ever left you? And I want us to understand this morning with all kindness and yet candor, Jesus has never left us. In the Hebrew letter and the 13th chapter in verse 5, He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. Do you know of a time that He has forsaken you? Now, there may be times that when we pray to God, we don't feel God is there. But I want us to understand that God is there and that God cares. That God looks upon His children with mercy. And as a father, He looks down with love and benevolence towards those that are His. And I want us to understand that He has never left us nor forsaken us, even in the hour of greatest trials. I think about the Martins right now, what they're going through. And yet, where can they get strength? Through God. How many times have we had to bury loved ones and we felt alone, and yet we need to recognize God is there. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. But secondly, I want to raise another question. Why do some people forsake the Lord today? Some people are like the disciples in Matthew 26, 56. They are the ones who forsake the Lord. So why do individuals forsake the Lord? Why do they quit coming to service and worshiping God and doing the works that God would be glorified in? Why is it that some quit being the disciples they need to be? First, fear. Fear of what some will say. There are some people today that fear what people will think about. And I believe that fear is a great motivating factor that keeps a lot of us from doing what we need to do, saying what we need to say, and being what we need to be. I think fear is a motivating factor that keeps us from telling others about Christ. Many times young people fear what others will say about their conduct, and we all live under so much pressure today. And I think that a lot of people are motivated by fear. Have you ever been fearful? And have you ever forsaken the Lord and not took a stand when you should have taken a stand because you were fearful of what someone might say or what someone might think or what someone might do? Have we been motivated by fear to forsake the Lord? Secondly, some forsaking because of weariness. Have you ever thought about how weary some people get? That sometimes we just feel like, well, I've been serving the Lord all these years, and I don't feel like there's any benefit in it. And I'll tell you what the problem with that thinking is we're looking at ourselves and not the one we're serving. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 6, 9, let us not grow weary in well-doing. And I realize that sometimes you may feel like some do not appreciate what you do, but my friend, that's not why we do what we do. If the only reason I preach and the only reason you teach or lead singing or do whatever is so that people will appreciate you, we've already done it for the wrong reason. We need to do it so that God is glorified, and then we won't grow weary. When I see how much time I've put into something, I realize I'm doing it to the glory of God, not so the praises of men. And I'll tell you something, that'll change your attitude right there. Because when you do something for God and you're motivated by love to do something, then it doesn't seem like work. You remember that the Bible said that when Jacob was working for Rachel, it seemed like a few days. Why? His love for her was great. And he had to work 7 years, and then he had to work another 7 years. Have you ever thought about how much love he must have to work that long? Before I married my wife, her parents made me dig in their garden and plant something, and I was starting to question what kind of life I'm going to be living. But I'll tell you something. When you're motivated by love, it's but a little thing. But something else came to my mind. Some people not only forsaking for fear or weariness, some forsaking because of spiritual weakness. The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. They just aren't willing to make the sacrifice that is needed to be a child of God. There's some sin they're not willing to give up to be a disciple of Christ, and so they forsake the Lord. They turn their back on Him, though He's there saying, come unto Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What should we do then to keep from forsaking the Lord? First, we need to watch. I think it's interesting that Peter's the one we read about in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. That makes the statement that we've quoted so many times. When he said, be sober, be vigilant. That means be watchful and mindful. Have a clear mind. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I need to be on guard. If someone said that there was a lion or a snake in here, you know what, my friend? Every one of us would be on guard. If they said there was a snake, every one of you would look down at the pew and say, it better not be under my feet. And if you didn't, then I'd say something's wrong with you. Because most of us don't like snakes. But what did Peter say about the roaring lion? Watch for it. Be on guard. Be watchful lest he consume you. Secondly, we need to pray. Oh, how often we fall short in that. Oh, how often do we fail to pray to God that he not only give us strength, but that we pray to God in gratitude that Jesus hasn't forsaken us and ask for strength that we may never forsake Him. May God grant it to every member at Eastside that we be men and women who stand up and never forsake the one who loved us enough to die for us. We sing the song about forsaking the Lord and we say, He's never forsaken me. Oh, I would we'd get that thought. And finally, we need to look to Jesus. That's powerful. I need to take my Bible and just look unto the Lord and see what He has done for me. That He is the author and finisher of my faith. And that with Jesus in my sight, no matter what comes, I know He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I realize He's there to help me through the trials and temptations. He's not going to remove them. But I recognize He gives me strength because as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, my grace is sufficient for thee. Have you ever thought that God gives us the power to face whatever happens? I don't know. And I may embarrass somebody, and if I do, I apologize. I don't know how Rosalie Brown ever went through what she went through. But I'll tell you something. I believe it was her faith that helped her through. Because she realized that God had not forsaken her. No matter what we face in life, our God will not forsake us. Let us not forsake Him. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel and be baptized or need to be restored, maybe you've forsaken the Lord. Why don't you come back to Him?